And today, I'd like to talk about calling. Because God called Samuel. And I've been praying lately for God to give us the harvest, but in that scripture it talks about praying for workers. And usually when we say that word, workers, we think of serving, drudging on, sort of doing daily tasks. But I'd like us to think more of calling you as a worker, that it's a bigger calling. A calling to something above and beyond yourself, in the same way that Samuel is called. And I really believe that for some of you, God has calling you. You've responded. Some of you, God is calling you, and you're still thinking about it. Other of you, God has called you, and you've totally run the opposite way. Today we want to get into 1 Samuel 3, and just be sort of part 1, and next week will be part 2. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would really come and that you would speak our name, that we would listen, that we would obey, and we would go forth to build your kingdom and your glory on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth we pray. Amen. I think we get the... It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel went, and he laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against the family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Don't hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all of Israel. We're going to look at this step by step. If we look at verse 1 there, we see that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. He was only a boy, and we'll talk more about his age later and his calling. But the part I'd like to look at right now is his location, his positioning. Where is Samuel? He's before the Lord. That's where he's positioned. And that indicates that he's living in the presence of the Lord. If we take something and we place it, it is before the Lord. This is the Lord. It's in His presence. We see this term many times here in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. In verse 2:11, it says, "Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli." Elkanah, he returned home to take care of civilian affairs. Samuel stayed before the Lord to take care of spiritual affairs. In 2:18, we read about the contrast between Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, how they were wicked, how they were in contempt of the Word of God, had no regard for the Word of God. But in 2:18, it says Samuel was ministering before the Lord. In 2:21, it says Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And then here today, 3:1, where is Samuel? He is before the Lord. It's interesting how positioning is very important in the Bible. I just remember the story about Abraham as he comes before the Lord and he begs God in Genesis 18. You know, if there's just 50, 45, 30, 20, all the way down to 5 people, will you save that land? It reminds me of the men who are friends with a man who cannot walk. And they're trying to get him before Jesus. So what do? They take him up. And then they go through the roof and place him finally in front of or before Jesus. You know, being before the Lord is probably the best place to be. If this is the Lord, positioning, there's many different positions. Right now, I'm beside the Lord. Actually, in the Greek, we talk about the Holy Spirit. It's one who is alongside. We talk about being under the Lord, or under His coverage. Talk about being before the Lord. And that's different from being in front of, right? In front of, like you're in a line. This is like face to face, and you are before the Lord. You can imagine the humility that we should have as we come before the Lord. But it's just not like a physical body. It's also our heart, I would hope, before the Lord. Our mind, our thoughts are before the Lord. Our very spirit is living before the Lord. So today we just ask, you know, where are you positioned? When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're with your family or friends, are you still positioned before the Lord? And I think a lot of times we get our positioning wrong. A lot of times we position ourselves maybe before people, right? And that can work of one or two ways. One is, hey, look at me. Give me some applause. Pat me on the back. It could work of, wow, you expect something from me. And so I'm positioning myself before you to meet your expectations. Either way, it's a wrong positioning when we live in Christ. Sometimes we position ourselves, strangely, before ourselves. We love the mirror. We think about how smart we are or our ability. And we concentrate so much on what we want to do. And so we tune ourselves in more to others or more to ourselves rather than being before the Lord in any situation. It's hard to remain there, isn't it? Hard to remain in that position before the Lord, especially when circumstances arise that pull us away. How do we do that? I was thinking about the song, The Stand by Hillsong. It says, I stand with arms wide and heart abandoned in all of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. Surrender to the Lord, giving Him all. Are you there? Are only half of you there? Not half of you, but half of your life. I think about how to stand before the Lord. I think of the word fast. We use that for people who are good disciples. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful. Are you faithful? A man or woman of integrity? Are you available? Samuel, this guy, he's totally available. That's all he ever says to Eli. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. We had a group at a conference I went to, and they had to pick basically a biblical character that they wanted to represent. And they chose Samuel. And every time they came up to present one of their, programs or little skits, they would come up and say, here I am, ready for duty, sir. That sense of being available, ready. Are you there? Honestly, a lot of us are not. Teachable. We would hope that we would think that we would be teachable before the Lord. One of humility. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Are we teachable? A lot of times we have difficulty positioning ourselves before the Lord. A lot of us have a lot of barriers. I'm trying to think of a barrier that I could get. I'll use my bag. God's trying to speak to us. God wants to call our name, but the barriers come in. This is you. Barrier comes in. Busy, right? I'm busy. I can't take the call from God, so the barrier is put into action. The one that we get that we know is very sure, but we forget about is the sin barrier. We like that sin more than we like hearing from God. So it causes this break in the communication. The line is cut. The barrier of I know it all. So the teachable aspect goes right out the window. A brother or sister comes to you, mentions something, hey man, I know it. God comes to you, I know it. Later on we'll talk about the fear barrier. Hey God, I want to hear from you. You might make me do something I don't want to do. Right? Later on, we'll also talk about the interruption barrier. Life's going fine. I like it. God, don't interrupt me. We need to remain before the Lord constantly so that we can hear Him. That takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of work. We continue to look there at verse 1, and something very interesting is pointed out, that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So a lot of times when we hear the word of the Lord was rare, right? We're like, there weren't many Bibles around. Or just the Pentateuch and Torah were not being shown to many people. A lot of times that's how we think of the word of the Lord. But that's not what he's talking about here. In fact, we can see very clearly there's a connection that he makes that says the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I don't know what all that means, but obviously the word of the Lord is connected to a vision, to God speaking directly to the people. The word of the Lord is rare. They're not visions. That means that there's not a lot of discussions going on. There's not a lot of talking. That means God is absent. And if God is really that important in your life, and if God truly is your life, like that scuba pack on your back when you're underwater, and you can't breathe, you're going to miss him. And so you want to get into that place back before the Lord, so that the word of the Lord is not rare, and that you're hearing from him. Is that a problem for us, that the word of the Lord is rare? Do we really care if the word of the Lord is rare? And I'm not talking just about the word of God, though that is part of it now for us, but also visions of God. God speaking to us in different ways. We know that that was the Lord. We continue on in verse 2 and verse 3. Just real quick, verse 3, it says that Eli's lying down in his usual place, and they make sure that you know that Samuel's laying down in the temple next to the ark. So right there, they're showing a little bit of contrast between the two, which we've seen before. But it's interesting, this whole phrase, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And it basically symbolizes two things. One, it's kind of late in the evening or early in the morning. We'll just say it's early in the morning. Lamp's been burning all night. So it's given us a time frame of when God is speaking to Samuel. But not only that, it symbolizes the fact of the light has not yet gone out in Israel. Things have been bad for a long time. This is coming out of the judges' day. And they have leader after leader, and they're getting conquered after conquered. Batted down. Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas, they're wicked. They do wicked stuff. Read chapter 2 if you missed it. Where's the hope? The light has not gone out, and the light will shine, and the hope will come again. And we know that comes through Samuel, from God calling a simple boy Samuel. That's why you have to tune your ears to the Lord, because if the Lord calls you and he speaks to you, he's wanting to give hope to someone in some way. Maybe for the larger group of Israel. Maybe for a person individually. Maybe to make change. Though it may harm someone, hope comes for many. You have to tune your ear into the Lord and be before him. It was early. You know, another thing this thinks that comes to my mind, it's early in the morning, I'm sleeping. That's just inconvenient. God, you have to speak to me now. I'm sleeping. A lot of times this would happen to me in Taiwan. And I'm like, Lord, it's cold. I don't want to get out on the tile floor and pray right now. Get up. Okay, I'm getting up. Inconvenient. The fact is, God is not a 7-Eleven, right? He's not there for convenience. It's His time, His way. We listen. We obey. Remember one time we were in Taiwan and we were trying to get on a bus. Long line. The guy pulled up real quick. People jumped on. I'm running for the bus. Stuck my hand in the door. Shut the hand in the door. Pushed the door open. Jumped on the bus. Got my wife on the bus. I'm like, hey, why didn't you wait? People on the bus were not too happy with me. One guy actually started yelling at me. I started yelling back. I was like, he was sitting down, a bunch of women were standing up. I'm like, hey man, be a man. Stand up, give the woman the seat. Anyhow, this went back and forth. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart. He says, Kurt, you need to repent. You need to ask of forgiveness. I'm like, Lord, this is so inconvenient. This is not the time to speak to me. Speak to me after I get off the bus. After I'm away from this man. That is just, you know, digging at my heart. God spoke to me. So I'm like, Malon, could you make sure this guy understands that I'm saying I'm sorry for saying this? She's like, what? He did this, this, and this. Hey man, I got convicted by the Spirit. Can you tell him? Oh, God comes and speaks to us inconvenient times. Or maybe it's the right time, but we just don't like it. Early in the morning, put yourself before the Lord. Get ready to listen. Go on, I'd like to read verses 3, 4 through 8. Says here, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. He called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go and lay back down. So he went and laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, ran to Eli, said, here I am. He called me. My son, Eli, said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. And it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I think verse 7 is pretty interesting. You know, what's up with this guy? He's living in the temple. He's sleeping in the temple. He's next to the ark, very presence of God. We could say in all situations that this guy is religious. Wouldn't you? Would there be anyone in the land that would come in and say, boy, Samuel, man, he doesn't know God. This guy's religious through and through. But I think the warning to us is that you can be religious and not know God. Did you hear that? You can be religious and not know God. You're coming to church every day. Reading your word every day. But you don't know God. Now, why does this say that he doesn't know God? Because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And we understand that word of the Lord is not just a Bible or a written word, but the very visions of God, revelation from God being given to him. this word know, again, comes back to this intimate, personal, deep relationship. It'd be the same as marriage. You know that person, and you're in a covenantal commitment to them. You know them. And when you're in marriage and you know the person, you're just not reading about them. Man, Maylon, she is beautiful beyond imagination. And, you know, you're just not reading about it. You're experiencing it. Wow! This is a real thing. And the same is with the Lord. That a lot of times we can be very religious, right? We know how we're supposed to act when we come to church. I got to ask my wife what I should wear a lot of times. No, don't wear that. I'm like, okay. Put on something nicer. Okay. What we should say. We know the things that we've been taught, and they're good. They're not bad. We read the Bible. We do Bible studies. We go to Bible study groups. We pray. We have all the methods down. And some of us, we've experienced God, and that is great. But other of us are like, whoa, what's up? We're religious, but we don't yet know the Lord. To ask the Lord to come, I want an intimate relationship with you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do with the rest of my life? Because I don't want to continue to go in the direction I'm going without knowing you are with me. As Moses said, unless your presence goes with us, I'm not going up from here, Lord. Exodus 33. We want to experience and know the Lord. You know, Eli, by this time he's about 80 years old. It says his eyes are weak. The guy is big. And you would think that after being in the temple and doing all of these religious Jewish traditions that God had given them, that he would be a very religious man and he would know what's going on. But how many times does Samuel come to him? And it's finally then it says, dawned on him, or he realized, oh, the Lord must be calling your name. And so, we come down to verse 10. And it says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. To me, that verse 10 is pretty amazing. The Lord came and stood there. The Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes and stands there. Why? Because He wants to call your name. You know, we always think of it the other way, right? God just there, and we come and stand before Him. But God so longs to call your name and speak to you and be in tune with you and have an intimate relationship with you. The Lord came and stood there. Samuel, Samuel. He's calling your name. And He wants to call your name, I believe. So in verse 11 through 14, He tells him what He's got planned. And unfortunately, it's a difficult plan for Eli's family. They've sinned, they've been disobedient, hold my word in contempt. They're getting cut off. And when we do go down to verse 15, we would think that after Samuel hears this prophecy that was already given to the man of God back in chapter 2, which confirms that Samuel very much heard the word of God and is a prophet. We would think after Samuel would hear this, he would, what? Wow! Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord is rare. We just haven't heard from God for a long time. Praise the Lord, fireworks are going off. God is speaking today. I'm going to jump up. I'm going to run to Eli. Eli, this is what God said. He spoke to me. But what's verse 11 say? He laid that down. He's afraid to tell Eli. Says he gets up the next morning. He opens the temple doors. Basically, hey, business as usual. Things are open. Come on in. How many of us do the same thing? Was that God speaking to me? I don't know. Anyhow, it's kind of weird. God speaks to me. And you know what? I really didn't like that. I'm going back to sleep. Or we jump up and say, man, I think God was speaking to me, but you know, life is kind of good right now. Getting up, going to work. I'm doing my daily routine. Get up, open the temple doors, just like every day. Things don't change. Why did Samuel do this? He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Totally understandable. Right? This is the guy you're under, sort of your mentor. This is the head guy. You're just a boy. And all of a sudden God comes and gives you this prophecy. We're just going to cut him off. Take him out. You go and tell him. He was afraid. But I'd like to make this note. If we hear from God and God moves in our lives, a lot of times fear can silence the voice of God. Now, it doesn't just silence the voice of God in the sense that God no longer speaks, but in the sense of Him working through our lives. God is now silent. Different ways that God gets silenced by our fears. Fear of people. A lot of times I struggle with this. What do people think? Will they be offended by what I said? Will I get rejected? Will they laugh at me? Will they freak out when I say that? Fear silences God. Fear of failure is another one. Some of you may struggle with that. Boy, God told me this. Is it true? What if I tell someone and it doesn't happen? What if God doesn't work in my life like He says He's going to? Now, I'm being quiet. I'm not telling anyone, and I'm not going to act on it. Silence is God. Fear of interruption. Like we talked about. Pardon the interruption. God, I'm sorry. Life is good. You know, I got my house, my cars, my job. Please don't speak to me right now. The ride is good. Fear of the unknown. You know, when God comes to speak to us, this is kind of scary, right? I mean, once you get to know God, you know it's not scary because His way is best. It works out. But, and I'm not talking about scary like, ooh, or stuff. I'm talking like scary, like, whoa, you want me to do what and go where and when, and I don't want to, and I just don't want to listen. I was struggled with this. I'm like, hey, it says to seek you and knock and ask, and what if I do that, then you actually want me to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. Maybe I'll just stay over here. I'm not seeking. I'm not knocking. I'm not asking. I've got my agenda, my list of priorities. If I ask him, he may not like my list, my priorities. He may move something around. I don't like what is unknown, what is not normal, what is uncomfortable. And so we don't ask. Still remember when God called me at an early age, around 18 or before, to be a pastor. And I was like, hey, I got things figured out, God. I'm going to get a degree in electronics so I can get a lot of money, so I get my house with white picket fence and my two cars in the garage, and those cars are going to be somewhat nice. And I'll serve at church on the deacon board or, you know, give tithes. That's what I'm going to do, Lord. God didn't like that plan as much as His plan. And He kept calling me to be a pastor. You're kind of interrupting me, God. I don't want to take the call. And God used some different circumstances to arrange that, which we don't have time today. Overall, God's calling cannot be stopped. Some of you, God has called, and you're trying to stop it. You're hiding. You're thinking about all of the fears. But God is bigger. When we go to verse 15, it says Samuel was afraid, and we get to 16, but Eli called him. God calls you. And Eli can't escape. I mean, not Eli, Samuel. Right? All the other times, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Or not Lord, Eli. Eli, Eli. And then this time, Samuel, son. He's like, oh man. If you would just keep your mouth shut, Eli, and not ask me what's going on, then I wouldn't have to come and tell you that your whole family's going to be destroyed. Guy, kind of crazy? Why is he calling my name again? But God uses the very person that's going to get the axe to call Eli. God's calling and willing cannot be stopped. Then he comes and Eli questions him. Right? What was it that he said to you, Samuel? Oh man, here he goes again. We don't like those people that come and ask us those deep questions, right? Hey, Pastor Kurt, hey man, what's the Lord been doing in your life? Oh man, don't ask me that. I don't want to tell you. If I do, then I might be accountable and responsible and actually have to do it. Keeping my mouth closed. He's questioning. Calls him, he questions him. And then third, he goes on. Eli asks, he says, don't hide it from me. Eli now is commanding him. We don't know the time frame in this. Call, question. He's saying nothing. Like, man, I got to open the temple doors again. I think they went shut a little bit. Or I'm tired. I got to lay down. Questions him. And last of all, he gets even stronger and he curses him. Threatens him in a sense. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you. In ancient days, that's like, you are going to get cursed if you don't tell me. Like, man, this guy just won't leave it alone. And then, it says that he told him everything. God's will, God's calling cannot be stopped. And Samuel goes forward with it. If God's calling you, if you thought God has spoken to you, come and talk to me. Talk to Dan. Talk to someone you trust. it's nice that then we can confirm it and walk with you. If you're hiding, don't hide any longer. Don't go back to sleep. Don't go about the regular routine of your job or school and that. I'm not saying drop out of school. I'm saying listen to the Lord. God is calling you. He wants to speak to you. Because He wants to do more than just our little things that we're seeing in life. Next week, part two, let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You came and called Samuel so that You could replace leadership, that You could start a new song and a new hope in Israel, that light had not gone out. And through them, God, You bring a king of David, and through that lineage of David, God, You bring Your Savior. God, we thank You that Your light forever shines brightly, God, through Your Savior, Jesus, and His body, us, the church. And God, we pray that we would not be silenced, God, from the words that You speak to us. God, help us to overcome our fear. God, let us walk with our brothers and sisters. And God, let us live for You. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.